Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cooking in Real Time. I'm Zora O'Neill, and tonight, on this very chilly night here in New York, I am going to make soup because it is just getting to be soup season. And I'm answering a request faster than I ever have before in my life. So somebody just emailed me and asked if I had any recipes for sweet potato soups. And indeed I do. I have one whopping recipe for sweet potatoes in soup. And it's allegedly Cuban, but no actual Cuban gave me the recipe, so I can't vouch for its authenticity in any way. But it's basically sweet potatoes, greens, and sausage, and some lentils, and some cumin and allspice. And it's a good hearty soup, but a little sweet, a little spicy. And so I'm gonna make that, and it should come together pretty quickly. And if we have time, you know, I like to have something on the side. If we have time, I wanna make just a little slaw out of celery root and apple, because apples are in season and I have about 5 pounds of them, and the celery root is good and fall and crispy also, and a nice counterpoint to the soup, because that'll be all soft. So let's start cooking. I'm gonna chop up an onion, of course, as usual. First things first, I'm putting my big Duskaware braising pot on the stove to preheat on medium heat, and I'm putting a little glug of olive oil in there while I go and I chop up my onion. You just need one medium onion here, nothing crazy. And you want it in fairly small pieces. Whenever you're making a soup, think of what size things you want and what will fit on a soup spoon. If you make your chunks too big, then you'll only get one flavor on your soup spoon. But if you make them too small, then the flavors sort of dissolve into the soup and you don't get a nice mix in each bite. So I'm cutting my onion into, I don't know, half-inch squares, basically. They'll soften up enough while we're cooking our soup, so they'll mix in nicely with all the other things. All right, we've got our onion ready to roll. I'm just gonna take that over to the stove. Slide that into the olive oil. There we go. Shake that around a little bit, or stir it, depending on what tool you have in hand. And I'm gonna sprinkle a little salt in there right now before I forget. So that's on, I've got that on like medium low heat, so I can turn my back on it, no problem. And now I'm back at my cutting board and I'm just gonna chop up or peel and crush up a few cloves of garlic as well to throw in there. Say 4 or 5 medium cloves. 1, 2, 3, 4. That one's kind of small, so yeah, definitely 5 here. These don't have to be chopped up in any real strategic way. You can just peel them, crush them with the side of your knife to get the peel off, and while you're doing that, give them another little extra crunch to crush them into pieces. It's actually a handy way to work with the smaller cloves of garlic, which are normally a pain, but they squish up very nicely with the side of your knife. So, and I'm just gonna give these a quick rough chop. Scoop these into a bowl. I'm just gonna go ahead and toss the garlic in here with the onions. So that's gonna be our kind of flavor base right now for the soup. Traditionally, most soups and sauces in French cooking are flavored with onion, celery, and carrot. You can add celery and carrot if you happen to have them, but if you don't worry about it. Onions are fine. I'm gonna go ahead and measure out some lentils here. And I'm going to do my best not to add too many. The problem I have with making soup, especially if they're more than two or three ingredients, as I forget that each component adds up to quite a large total. So the trick, if you don't want, you know, gallons and gallons of soup for an army, is to remember that each ingredient can actually be a fairly small amount. So I'm only adding about half a cup of lentils, and I've just measured them out, and I'm giving them a quick rinse. You don't have to do this, but it doesn't hurt to give them a quick rinse and feel through with your fingers. And these are just the regular flat kind of beigey green lentils, nothing fancy. You don't want to use the red split lentils. They're so pretty, they're salmon colored, except they turn to mush and kind of yellow when you cook them. These lentils, these brown lentils, should stay mostly whole, and they'll have a little bit of a give, a little toothiness to them. So I'm just gonna wait for the onions to soften a teeny bit more, and while I'm waiting for that, I'm gonna go ahead and peel the sweet potato. At this point, if I were a responsible cooking show host, I would tell you the difference between yams and sweet potatoes, but you know what, I can never remember. I'm talking about the big orange flesh, knobby, slightly long and skinny kind of tuber. Anyway, they're delicious. Usually their beauty is covered under a layer of mini marshmallows or something else totally undignified. Doesn't seem fair. I love food in the autumn. There are so many things that come into season that are orange. It's very entertaining. It makes your plate much more colorful. Okay, so I've got that peeled, and it sounds like the onions are kind of sizzly over here, so I'm gonna give them one more stir. And I'm putting in the lentils. So I'm doing it in this order because you wanna add, you can hear that sizzling a lot because there was water on the lentils from rinsing them. So that's all steaming away right now. So I'm doing it in this order because the lentils will take the longest to cook, and the sweet potatoes will take the second longest. So as soon as I get this rolling, we'll chop up the sweet potatoes and throw them in. I am opening, speaking of undignified, you can hear me opening packaged chicken stock. I have a little box of Swanson stuff. Of course it's nicer to have your own chicken stock that you made from your own chicken. And one day you might. Oftentimes I do, but today I don't. So canned it is. It's totally fine. This is a box that's about 3 cups worth. And I think that'll probably be enough liquid total for the whole thing. If it's not, I can always add a little bit of water because there'll be enough flavor from all the other things. And let's see, so that's cooking. The lentils are in there getting tender. I'm gonna chop up the sweet potato now. And again, think of what size chunks you wanna eat. The smaller the chunk, the faster they'll cook, which is nice to remember if you're in a hurry, but you don't want to make them too small, they get all mushy. So a little more than 1/2 inch, 3/4 inch chunks is good. Don't overthink it. And I just am using this one sweet potato. Like I said, you don't want to overload the soup and suddenly make this enormous soup just because you've put together way too much of each ingredient. Okay, these are going to take about as long as the lentils, like 20 minutes or so, so I think it's fine to just toss them right in. And the last major thing to do is rinse our greens. It's funny, so I was thinking about cooking this soup tonight, and I was looking all over my computer for the original recipe. I couldn't remember who had sent it to me or where I learned it. You know, if I had imagined the part, I'm putting the lid on the pot there, so to keep the heat in. Couldn't remember anything, what spices went in there, was it really Cuban, was I imagining that? And I'm looking all over and I get an email from my mom saying, oh, so when you're home, I was thinking of making that Cuban pork and mustard green soup. So Right, that solved that problem. She sent me the recipe again. And it is usually with mustard greens. I'd forgotten that. And I got collard greens at the store. But that's okay. You could also use kale. I'm just cutting off the biggest end stems before I go ahead and rinse all these. The one thing should be said for making a large quantity of this soup is that it's very hard to buy greens in small quantities. Usually, especially collard greens and mustard greens, they're usually sold in these giant bunches. So we're going to end up having probably more greens here than the soup can withstand. But you can hang on to the greens and just boil them up separately later in the week. You know, save about half a bunch, set them aside, and boil them up later in the week with like a smoked ham hock. That's always good. And a little garlic, and have them as a side dish later on. But I'm gonna go ahead and trim and wash everything just so they're ready. These guys are good rinse. Collard greens are tougher than either kale or mustard greens. They take a little longer to cook. So I'm gonna go ahead and pop those in as soon as we get them washed here. Whereas if I was doing mustard greens, I would probably add them, you know, wait up another 10 minutes or so to add them. But I want to make sure these get all nice and softened up. By the way, something I've discovered over the years, when you're cleaning your greens, this applies to lettuce, spinach, whatever, any kind of thing that you're gonna trim and rinse and whatever, go through and pick off all the yucky wilted leaves and stuff. Pick that off before you start washing, because it's somehow much easier to handle greens before you've got them all washed and stuck in the strainer. All right, I'm pulling out about half of these greens, and I'm just gonna chop them up into smaller pieces. And you know, they do sell frozen collard greens and mustard greens, now that I think of it. They sell them frozen. So that's always an option. For something like this, it doesn't really matter that the greens are like perky and fresh, because you're going to be cooking them for quite some time. So frozen is fine, and it's also nice to have that in the freezer as a fallback thing. So I'm cutting these into like, I've laid all the leaves down together, and I'm just cutting crosswise, cutting them into like 3-inch strips. Not too small. Again, you want sort of a hefty piece of green in your mix. Okay, so now we've got in the pot. Wow, that's a lot of greens. I think I've already messed up my soup proportions, despite my best intentions. Anyway, I'm just stirring to get all these collards submerged in the liquid here, and they're turning that beautiful bright green. It's so nice. So that's cooking. We also, of course, have to add the pork and the spices. I'm just gonna set aside the other half of the collard green bunch to deal with those a little bit later, because I do wanna get the pork sausage going. Well, you can also fry up the sausage in the same soup pan. Just throw it in there after you've fried the onions for a little bit, or before. You can do the sausage before, doesn't matter. I didn't do them all together in the same pot today because I wanted to get those other things going, because I knew they'd take a little bit of time. So again, it's the question of whether you want to dirty another pot or hurry up dinner. And tonight I want to hurry up dinner. I have a packet of andouille sausage here. It's smoked. It's a little bit spicy. You could also use, I think the original recipe calls for chorizo. And actually, come to think of it, the original recipe also calls for whole pieces of pork loin. And, you know, I love pork. That's great. But if I'm going to put meat in something, I want it to be really, really flavorful. And plain old pork, much as I love it, like, I don't want that to be the focus of the stew. To me, the stew is more about greens and the sweet potatoes, and there's a little accent of pork. So for me, it's fine to use, this is about, I don't know, 3/4 of a pound of sausage. And even that, it's gonna be a lot. I'm cutting it into 1/4-inch slices, kind of thick. And I'm just gonna brown these up in a pan to bring the flavor out, and then we'll add everything to the soup pot. So, oh yeah, I guess I'll go ahead and add all this. It can't hurt, certainly, to have more pork. So yeah, in my mind, soups are not ever about meat. I don't know, maybe it's because I grew up eating vegetable soup that was mostly vegetables and, like, you know, a piece of stewing beef. All right, I'm heating up my other, one of my skillets here on the stove on high to brown these guys. And I don't know, there are more interesting things than meat to put in a soup, and you don't want the meat flavor to be overshadowing everything. It sounds like my skillet is getting a little heat going in there. Oh, maybe not so much. All right, whatever. Oh, there it goes. All right, I'm just tossing all those little sausage slices. This is smoked and pretty well cured sausage. You can also use raw sausage, basically sausage that's just in its casings, in which case you wanna really brown it up nicely. It'll cook all the way through in the soup. You don't need to worry about that detail so much. I'm turning the soup down to, like, low so it's not boiling all over like crazy. So yeah, this is like firm cured sausage, and really I'm just browning it to kind of get the flavors released and add a little bit of extra texture. But you can start with raw and cured sausage. I would not use standard Italian sausage just because that always has a little bit of fennel in it usually, and I love that, but it makes it taste very Italian in a way you might not be going for, and I feel like the fennel would fight with the allspice and the cumin that we're about to put in. Looking here for my cumin. I've got a little bit of allspice ground up. I've got a little bit of cumin ground up. I'm just gonna go ahead and use those. Sometimes I don't have anything ready and I have to grind it, but tonight, if we're fortunate. Allspice is a pretty powerful thing, so I'm putting in maybe a quarter teaspoon of it. It can be a little intense, so don't go crazy with that. Likewise, cumin is kind of a bossy flavor, and it really, I'm putting in maybe a heaping half teaspoon. The allspice will kind of will help round it out a fair amount. Giving my little sausage slices a stir. Okay, just giving my little sausage bits a stir. They're browning up nicely. Oh, I know what I just thought of. Remember, I have some lamb bones in the fridge. I'm gonna throw a couple of those in just because I have them. Totally optional and actually completely unnecessary part of the recipe. But just to illustrate to you how flexible a soup recipe can be, if you do have pork bones, of course, would be better. If you do have some bones kicking around for whatever reason, go ahead and toss them in. I'm not gonna use a ton of lamb. It can be a kind of a strong flavor. You either like it or you don't. But there, I just put in about four small lamb bones. And those sausages are peppery. All right, I'm turning them off. Enough. This is usually the point where the smoke alarm goes off. So I've stirred in the spices. I've sort of nestled those little bones in there. There's hardly any meat on them. I'm not putting them in there for the meat per se, just for the sort of flavorful cartilage and marrow and all that stuff that's in there. A little extra bone will do a great deal for your soup. Now I'm scraping all the, sausage in. Stirring it up. But what I'm gonna do, I'm running a teensy bit of water in my skillet. You can hear it bubbling up. This is poor man's deglazing. If we were doing this all Frenchily, I would have used wine instead of water. And actually you could use wine in this recipe. Fine, a little glug of red wine would be nice. I just don't think I have any on hand. When you pour the liquid in just a teeny bit, like a couple tablespoons of liquid in a hot pan, it steams and bubbles really furiously, and you can scrape. You can hear me scraping with the spoon. You scrape and scrape all the nice little crusty bits off the bottom of the pan, and you want those. Those are yummy extra flavor. Think of all the nice crunchy brown edges on nicely browned meat. That is what is collected on the bottom of your pan. and you don't want to waste that. Plus, this really cleans your skillet nicely, so I barely have to do anything except give that skillet a rinse now. All right. Okay, this is just going to simmer for a while. I'm going to turn that back up to medium-ish. And, I'll put in some black pepper. At this point, maybe I should look at the recipe and remind myself if there's anything else that I'm missing. Oh, marjoram. Interesting. We don't have any marjoram, so I guess that's not going in. Putting in some good grinds from black pepper. There's nothing else in the recipe that's spicy per se, so that pepper will give it a little bit of kick. If you prefer, you could put in some red pepper. I think some red chili pepper would taste really nice here. Stir that in a little bit. Okay, we'll let that work its magic. While I will have time to make the little slaw I was talking about. So moving on to that, we've got the soup pretty much done. The last thing we're gonna do to it is grate in some orange zest, but that'll happen right near the end. So an apple and a piece of celery root. If you've never cooked with celery root before, I highly recommend, although it really, really helps to have a food processor. I'm actually, tonight, in sympathy for people who don't have food processors, I'm gonna cut this by hand, which I might end up regretting. Celery roots are these round, knobbly, extremely unappealing looking things, and they taste kind of celery-y, but very mild. They're crunchy. You eat them raw, or you can cook them sort of like you would mashed potatoes and mash them up. People often add them to mashed potatoes, like in part, to give mashed potatoes an interesting flavor. I kind of prefer it as a raw kind of slaw ingredient. And I'm peeling this right now, and I can smell the great celery smell. It's very nice. It's kind of a pain to peel just with a peeler because the end has all these scraggly root bits that you're just never going to get in between. So at a certain point, you just have to get in there with a knife and slice off the odd parts, kind of slice them out. And now all that, I got a very small one at the store. Usually they're the size of, I don't know, a grapefruit, a smaller grapefruit. And when they're all shredded up, they feed quite a lot of people. I'm just cooking for two and I don't want a ton of leftovers, so I got the smallest one I could. And right now, now that I've cut everything off of it, it's about the size of a medium apple. And I just cut it into actually matchstick pieces, which is a little bit of a pain, but it's much better texture. If you cut it too thick, it can seem a little bit woody and like you're chewing and chewing, kind of like I'm doing now because I couldn't resist eating it. Oh, I hear my soup bubbling quite a bit. I'm gonna turn it back down. All right, now it's back down to low. Okay. If you have a recipe that calls for grating celery root and you don't have a food processor, you're better off slicing it into matchstick slices like I'm doing right now, because it is so hard that grating it by hand with a hand grater, just one of those little box graters, is incredibly tedious. So the trick to doing nice matchstick slicing is to keep all the slices kind of lined up, so you can just then tip the slices over on their side and cut them into thin strips. So if I weren't doing this in solidarity with those of you who don't have food processors, I would be just running this through the grater attachment on the food processor. Although there is something to be said for just doing things by hand. I know I have to wait a few minutes for my soup to cook, so I'm not in a massive hurry. And I don't know what else I would do in the kitchen in this time if I weren't slicing these things up. Yeah, this is already an impossibly huge amount of celery root. So I've just chopped up half of my celery root, and it is way more than I can possibly eat, or two people can possibly eat, because it's going to be mixed with apple as well. Okay, so I've got celery root, and I've got apple. And basically, I'm going to cut up the apple very much the same way. And As you probably know, apple tends to turn brown almost right away when you expose it to the air. So actually, before I even start this, I'm going to get out my vinegar. I'm just going to toss both these things together, the apple and the celery root, in a bowl with... And it's nice to have a big... Start with a big, big bowl to give yourself lots of room to work. And I'm just going to toss them with a little bit of salt and apple cider vinegar, which is very nice and mild. So I'm just shaking a little bit of apple cider vinegar over my celery root so it doesn't start to discolor. I don't have a little shaker top on this vinegar, so I just stick my first two fingers over the top of the bottle loosely and shake a little bit of liquid out. So sort of the make your own shaker dispenser. And I'm turning to slicing up my apples. Doing the same thing, slicing the apple in very thin slices, but keeping all the slices together so then I can just tip the whole thing sideways and then slice down through all the slices, and I have reasonably even thin matchstick bits. This, I mean, I would get kicked out of a restaurant kitchen for calling these matchstick slices. These are probably thicker than any chef would tolerate, but they're fine with me because I don't really have the patience to do too much smaller things. Again, if you want to use a food processor, you're totally welcome to. You can grate up the celery root and the apple in the same bowl. You don't need to rinse or whatever. And basically here you want to have just about the same amount of celery root as you do apple. Maybe a little bit more celery root, because you don't want, depending on how your apples are, you don't want the whole thing to get too sweet. So. And I should have described this as I was doing it. I should have described it better. A very quick way to slice up an apple without the core is imagine the core is rectangular, or square, I guess, and just start cutting off in squares. So don't cut through the actual center of the apple. Cut one side of the apple off just to one side of the core, and then turn the apple. So that gets about half the apple, almost. Turn the apple and make another slice alongside the core, and so on until you've cut away the apple. It takes four cuts, and the last piece of apple is very small. Try it, you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. It's easier than slicing into the apple and then slicing out the core. So I'm just separating all my little strips of apple, my so-called matchsticks of apple, just making sure, because the skin sometimes doesn't get sliced through. And I'm going to shake over just a couple more sprinkles of apple cider vinegar. Don't want to drown the whole thing. Tossing everything in the bowl, and I'm going to put in a pinch of salt, wherever my salt is, there. And then... That's pretty good to go. Oh, I know what else I want to do. I want to add just a little bit of parsley, because that's a very white salad. It's not going to be very exciting. So I just rinsed a small handful of parsley. And I'm going to chop that up fine and toss it with the other things, and then we're done. So we have a white salad with little green flecks, just for a little variety. Okay, there, I'm just tossing that in. Oh, that's beautiful. It looks looks a little bit Christmassy, actually. I've got the red from the apple peel. Yum. So, totally, totally simple salad. You notice we didn't even put any oil on it. It's fine the way it is. If you wanted to get a little fancier, you could put a little bit of walnut oil on. Walnut oil is great with apples because it does have that nice taste of walnuts. You could also put in a little blue cheese. That's good with apples as well, and it's great with celery root. But this is fine as it is. And again, it's nice to have something sort of raw and crunchy alongside a soup. Although I've got to say, this is one soup that I think can legitimately just you can eat it on its own because it does have the greens in it and everything. Oh, looking in on our soup now. The little lamb bones I threw in are looking distinctly unappealing. They're all gristly. I have to make sure those don't end up in somebody's bowl. They're just there to add a little bit more tasty meat flavor. I'm gonna taste the broth. That's good. It's good and smoky. I gotta say, the andouille sausage is the oldest trick in the book. It's because it's smoked, so you get that really, really nice instant smoky flavoring and everything. And I guess we just want to make sure everything is tender, and then I think we're good to go. Okay, yeah. Ouchie, ouch. That's good. Let me just, I should check the collards and make sure their stems are good. Once again, hot, hot, hot. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and scoop those little lamb bones out. They've done all their work. Maybe I'll leave one in for when I reheat the soup, because, you know, despite my best efforts, this is at least enough for four people. So if you make this soup, and how funny, I definitely could have added more lentils. Oh well, live and learn. That's the nice thing about soups. It doesn't really matter quite what proportions. As long as you're doing a sort of chunky, multi-ingredient soup, the balance of it, there's a lot of leeway. If you're doing sort of a creamy, single component soup and you want to get the herbs just right and the acidity just right, that's a little bit more of a challenge because that kind of soup can be really bland if you're not careful. And that's why I don't like making those soups, with the exception of lentil soup or a split pea soup. I'm a big fan of both of those, but anything that's like cream of something soup, I just don't even bother with those because they're kind of meant to be an appetizer and I don't really do appetizers. I just cut straight to dinner. So we're good to go. The last thing I'm putting in here, if I can find them, last thing I'm putting in here is orange peel. Aha! And here is the orange hiding. And that's the thing that really distinguishes the soup in my mind. It makes it very, very special and nice and wintry. Again, like citrus is coming into season, kind of makes sense. You can remember that it's supposed to be in there because the sweet potato is also orange. I often have that problem where I'm like, what was the other mystery ingredient? So I'm just putting in the peel from one orange. You heard I gave it a little bit of a rinse, and now I'm running it over the microplane zester. You want this to be very fine microplane style, not like box grater zest, because you want it to sort of dissolve into the soup. You don't want to be chewing on a piece of orange zest and going, huh, what is that mystery ingredient? And you might want to save a little bit of orange for when you reheat this, because the fresh lemon flavor tends to sort of dissipate overnight. All right, I think we're done. We have our so-called, allegedly, perhaps, who knows, Cuban soup with, in this case, collard greens and sweet potatoes, and a little pork sausage. And we have a side dish of celery root and little matchstick. I'm staring at it now. I can't help myself from eating it. Little matchsticks of really crisp seasonal apples with a little parsley. So dig in, enjoy. I'll be back in 2 more weeks with another recipe, and keep sending the requests. As you see, this particular request was actually acted upon within the same week I received the email. So, turning over a new leaf here at Cooking in Real Time. As always, visit the website for recipes and photos, and I'll put a photo up there of what celery root actually looks like. I neglected to take a photo while I was prepping it tonight, but I'll chase one down so you'll know what to look for in the store. It's an ugly little bugger. Anyway, happy eating, enjoy your dinner, and I'll talk to you next week.